I want to greet you this morning again in the precious name of Jesus. I don't know if you're feeling like I am this morning, but I'm having a hard time staying awake, and that's not a good thing for a preacher to do. I was back in the pastor's study during Sunday school, praying and just spending some time in the Word, and before I knew it, I was dozing off. So I hope you're a little bit more awake this morning than what I am. But I do ask for your prayers this morning. A preacher is not supposed to confess anything at the beginning of his sermons. He's never supposed to say sorry. But this morning I'm going to do that. I'm going to go against what a preacher is supposed to do. I had a message prepared on love. I love talking about love. Because God is love. The Holy Bible talks about love. Wednesday before we came to church, I felt the Holy Spirit ask me, you know, that's not where I want you to go. I'll show you tonight where I want you to go. That makes me uncomfortable. I love hearing the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we know when God asks you to wait, He's got something for you. It's going to hurt. So as we were sitting here in church on Wednesday night, God gave me a picture of where I'm supposed to go. And I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 21 this morning. This morning I'd like to talk about two things. I want to talk about complaining and I want to talk about gossip. If you were to ask who could take the trophy here this morning on complaining the most, I'm afraid I'd stand up here and hold that trophy. I don't know where you're at in your life, but that's my confession this morning. How can I preach a message this morning when it's something that God is really working on me in? Well, I didn't ask Him for this message. This is what He gave me. And I ask that you bear with me as we go through this message this morning. We're going to go back to chapter 20. I want to catch up a little bit here on where we're at, kind of give us a little bit of a background. Chapter 20, the children of Israel are here going through the wilderness. They're at about a 39 and a half years. They're almost there. We look at chapter 20, the first verse there, it talks about Miriam dies. Then they had no water, the people complained and fussed. Then we look in verse 5. Actually, verse 8. Aaron and Moses had come to God and asked Him, what should we do? Then God said in verse 8, He said, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. Let's go down to verse 10. Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and He said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. I think Moses was just about fed up. He just about had enough. How many times had they come to him and complained and fussed about their conditions? Hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of the rock? Let's look at what Moses did in his frustration. In verse 11, it says, he lifted up his hand and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, but let's go on down to verse 12. Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Obedience. Obedience is our love language to God. This is not really where we're going, but this is what was happening before we get to our scripture. Then we go down to verse 14. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. He wanted to go through his property. He wanted to go through that area to cut off some of their mileage, maybe you would say. They've been in the wilderness a long time. But the king of Edom said, no, you're not going to pass by here. So they left. They went another route. Because the king of Edom came against them with a strong hand in verse 20. Then we get down to verse 22. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. And this is where we find out where Aaron, God tells Moses, his son Eleazar says, take Aaron, go up to the top of the mount, undress him, take his clothes and put him on Eleazar. He's going to die. And Eleazar is going to take over Aaron's spot. So they did that. Verse 29 says they came back down, and for 30 days they had mourning for Aaron's death. Then we get to chapter 21, where we want to spend some time in this morning. Verse 1 says, and when King Herod, this actually, if you look at some of the other translations, it says the king of Herod. Herod was a town. He was a Canaanite, which dwelled in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies. Then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. So here we have King Herod coming out, taking some of the people prisoners of Israel, and they didn't like that. Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. And they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. Now I want you to think about your life this week. Did God answer any prayers for you? If you're a praying person, I'm guessing God answered some prayers for you this week. Here Israel just had an amazing thing happen. They asked God, we'll make a deal with you. Maybe it wasn't a deal, but they had an agreement here. If you help us overtake these people, we will utterly destroy them. And God did. They just came through a big victory. We have those big victories where God answers our prayers for us. Now, I wish we could just stay there and rejoice for weeks over the prayer that was answered. Let's see what happens here in verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. They could not go through Edom. They had to go through a different route. It was a lot longer than what they had expected. They were getting tired. The land was rough. The terrain was rough. They were getting tired, but they had just got done having this big victory. How could they complain? They're not much different than we are today, are they? Or maybe we're not much different than them. We have those victories, and it's only a matter of time before we complain again. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth us like bread. They're blaming Moses, they're blaming God for bringing them here. We're going to die here. It says, the last phrase here says, and our soul loatheth this light bread. This was manna. The manna that they had all the nutrients in it that they needed for life. And they hated it. They had meat before from quails. And they got tired of it. God hates complaining. Complaining is not a harmless sport. Philippians 2:14 says, do everything without complaining and arguing. King James says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Then verse 15 after that, so that no one can criticize you, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. 1 Corinthians 10:10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. That's what he's talking about in the scripture we're reading today. How many people have I caused hurt in my complaining? Ask yourself that question. As you think about your past life, how many people have you hurt because you complained? Ask yourself the question, is God delighted in the way I respond with complaining? If we look at the children of Israel, when they complained, God hated it. We are His children too, and He hates when we complain. And that's where I'm confessing this morning. I haven't done so well. I've done my share of complaining. And God hates complaining. Let's look at verse 6, what happened. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. What happened? What would happen today if God would send immediate judgment on our church here, on the churches in our area, when we complained? I'm guessing probably if you were an undertaker, you could have a very, very good business. Because I believe many of us would lie dead. The children of Israel were complaining. There were serpents that came out. There were serpents that were amongst them, fiery serpents. Those serpents, when they bit, it burned. I read a little bit about these serpents, and I can't remember what they were called. But they had a poison. When they were bit, it went into their system, and it really burned, and it was just a matter of time they were dead. How many dead people would lay here this morning? I probably one of them that would lay here dead this morning, because I've complained. We serve a merciful God. We are underneath the new dispensation of where God's mercy is great. No, He does not tolerate sin. But maybe we could say His judgment isn't immediate like it was here in the time of Moses and the children of Israel. Much people complained and they died. Here again, the children of Israel, then in verse 7 says, "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.'" If I were Moses, I think I'd have just hung on a little bit. Let's have a few more. You guys have been complaining for 40 years. Maybe if I let this go for a little bit, you'll learn your lesson. Let's have a few more dead people. I think maybe that's the attitude I would have taken too easily. But that's not what it says. Moses prayed for the people. "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole.'" That's the title of my message this morning, "The Brazen Serpent." You see the picture here of Moses and the serpent on the pole. Don't ask me how they got that picture and moved it up to our time here today. But anyhow, you see Moses there of how they depicted him standing there beside this pole looking at this serpent that he created. Moses had to take time to make this. They had to find a pole to put it on. Did people die in the meantime? I have no idea. But Moses prayed to God and God told him what to do, and faithfully he followed what God asked him to do. Even against the people that were speaking against him. I find when somebody speaks against me, I want to build a wall. Moses didn't do that. Moses followed God. And he made this pole and this serpent. Then it says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, he shall live." That's a beautiful verse. Do you know what that tells us today? We talk about the story of Nicodemus in John 3. Nicodemus came to Jesus and he asked him, "What do I need to do?" We go on there in John 3. He finally comes to verse 14 and he says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." We know this is talking about the cross. "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. That whosoever is me," it's you. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Then John 6 verse 47 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Is my complaining something that God is delighted in? No, it is not. Verse 9 says, "And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Friends, this is our invitation this morning. When God speaks to us and there's something that He wants to clarify in our hearts, maybe there's something like this complaining. He says, "If you look up to me," He's no longer on that cross. The cross is empty. But He said, "If you look up to me, if you focus on me, I will give you peace." You know what happens when we take our eyes off of Jesus? We look at things around us. And when we look at things around us, we can find all kinds of things to point at others and blame them for. We can find all kinds of things to complain about. But may I challenge you this morning, keep your eyes focused on Jesus. When you take your eyes off Him, the road is no longer straight. You start weaving back and forth. Keep your eyes on Jesus. What does Jesus know about this anyhow? Hebrews 4:15 says, "This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin." Do you think Jesus was tempted to complain? Well, I think so. I think he was. We don't exactly read about it in Scripture, but he was tempted in every area like we are. "Yet he did not sin, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, For he hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Made right with God through Christ. So I guess my challenge this morning is, let's find things to be thankful for. Let's find things that we can honor God with instead of complaining. If there's something in our life that we don't like, if there's something in another life that we don't like, let's thank God for the good things. I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned about something or somebody. But I challenge us this morning, and most of all, I guess I challenge myself. Can I go for a whole week without complaining? Maybe I'll start with one day first. Maybe I'll even have to break it down to 1 hour. But let's go as long as we can without complaining. I'm embarrassed. I've been guilty. I am guilty. But God showed me this message probably because I need to get it straight. Not just probably, it is because I need to get it straight. Let's go a step further. I'm going to talk about gossip for a second here. Many times when we complain, that's not enough. And before we know it, we're talking about another person. Oh, but we have concerns. This person concerns us. So we'll go to another person and we'll talk to them about this person because this person is a concern to us. What's that called? Gossip. I'm not saying don't be concerned. But we'll go to somebody else because we have a concern. Let's take it a step further. We get together for prayer and we get on our knees and we pray to God for this person and we share exactly what the issue is so the next person can hear us. There are times to pray. Believe me, brothers and sisters, there are times to pray for somebody. But I believe maybe there's times that we need to pray for a brother or sister, maybe in private. I caution us to pray with another brother or sister where it ends up becoming a prayerful gossip. Friends, I don't believe God is thrilled with that. I believe there's a place we need to be cautious, very cautious. Proverbs 11:12, "He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." Have I got a faithful spirit? Can I not gossip? Can I not talk about it? Sometimes it feels maybe like we're in such a deep hole, you know, we can't get out of this anyhow. It's useless. Corrie ten Boom said something. Said, "There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still." That was a comfort to me when I read that. It doesn't matter how low we go. God's love is deeper than that. He will bring us out of it. We try so hard. I'm going to do better. And we need to. But may I challenge you with this thought. Instead of trying so much harder, how about we surrender all of ourselves to Him? See, when we take our lives and we surrender our lives completely wholly to God, things change. I can try my best not to gossip. I can try my best not to complain. Without surrendering myself to God, I'm going to go right back into the same pit where I was at. But when I give myself completely to God, let's add this to it. I get filled with the Holy Spirit. When I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, things change. I challenge us this morning with that thought. Am I filled with the Spirit? My life is going to show it. My prayer time is going to show it. How I respond is going to show it. My relationship with my Father is going to show where I am. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisper separateth chief friends." We complain and we gossip. When Jesus is asking us to love the brotherhood, do good to all men, especially those that are of the household of faith. I know this message is a lot shorter than some messages. But I want us to think this morning about our walk with Him. Do I have a thankful attitude? Does it show by the way I live? Do I have a heart that loves? That if I see something in my brother or sister, instead of going to talk to somebody else about it, I'm going to walk up next to them. I'm going to link my arms in their arms, and I'm going to walk with them and bless them. And I'm going to help them through their difficulty. I bless those of you that are doing this. If we want to experience true joy in the Holy Spirit, we will need to lay aside complaining and gossiping. There's no other way. Those are two small issues in our life that I believe we need to get a handle on. And I'm not pointing fingers this morning. I don't want you to think that. Because these are areas where I have to work on. We're all human. We all need to work on these. I want to close with a verse in Isaiah, and I'd like for you to turn there. Isaiah 44, verse 22. Isaiah 44, verse 22 says this, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. He's paid the price for us. He's blotted out our transgressions. I don't know what that means for you this morning, but I have to think of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, gossip, complaining, there's just two of them. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful, He's just, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not hopeless. If it were a hopeless situation this morning, none of us would have opportunity to leave this building and continue our walk with God. But because He's so willing to forgive, because He's so willing to love us in spite of who we are, He wants us to grow. We can walk with total peace. Total peace. A peace that nobody else can take from us. I just want to bless you as a congregation. I'm not saying preaching this morning because I sense this is big in our church. But God gave me this. Maybe just for myself. So I ask that we pray for each other this week. That we lift each other up to the Father and we grow in Him this week. Let's stand for prayer. God, You've again blessed us today. You've again given us life and another day, Lord, to choose life. who we're going to serve. Lord, I pray that you would help us in these two small areas of our walk. Father, in complaining, the opposite of thankfulness, I guess, Lord, that you would help us to focus on you and be thankful. I pray, Lord, for the area of gossip. I pray that you would help me, Father, all of us, Lord, to replace this with love for the brothers. You are so good to us, God. We love you. We bless you. Would you dismiss us now? In your name we pray. Amen.